Lucky that you were willing to do something about it instead of leaving Fanny to her fate. And what part, pray, did Hetty play in all of this? Hetty is more sister to Fanny than you are, and is full 2 years older than either of you. She should have been more attentive to her sister's misdeeds. I am full of indignation at the lot of them, and it seems the outside of enough that Uncle Charles has been forced to reward them with a trip to the continent. You, my dear cousin, are the only one who deserves to visit such exotic locales. I hope you will not mind, but I feel it necessary to share your news in full with Papa. He is sure to hear of it at his whist club tomorrow, and I want him to be prepared against some horrid untruths. He is not always as guarded in company as he should be if he is surprised by disturbing news. If he does not learn of it then, he will certainly hear it at the Duncan's ball, and it would be most unpleasant to mar the evening with such tales. You guessed quite rightly that rumours have already reached us here in Kent, despite the recent nature of the near elopement. It seems the rest of Fanny's behaviour has not been as guarded as we hoped, for some of the stories being whispered over tea here state that she has been setting her cap at Lord Clement for many weeks, and that it was she who seduced him away from Miss Allwright. Others are guessing closer to the truth, and I have had to study hard for a calm countenance during many an afternoon call already. I suspect the new rumours are all due to the discharged servant. Clearly he was an unsavoury character, and has sought to bring ruin to the family by spreading stories. And of course anyone who passed Fanny in the street that early in the morning, unaccompanied and on foot, could not have helped but be suspicious. Only yesterday, Mrs. Hollingdon was here with Eliza, and she was not above asking some very pointed questions about your sudden removal from town. I told her as calmly as I could that Uncle Charles had decided that you would benefit from the education of hearing the speeches at the linguistic symposium, and had changed your plans accordingly. Mrs. Hollingdon smirked and suggested there might have been other reasons besides a desire to better your French. I pursed my lips behind my teacup for a brief moment to regain my composure before answering that Uncle Charles had been contemplating the trip for some time and had been waiting only for permission from the Linguistic Society in London before including you in his plans. Mrs. H. looked put out at my determined silence on the matter, but could not very well press for more details. Eliza blushed throughout the interview, and I pitied her the possession of such an unfortunate mother. Really, sometimes I think Mrs. H. is as bad as Aunt Sylvia. The only good thing that has come from Aunt Sylvia's marriage to Uncle Charles is that I have gained you and him as members of my family. Things remain otherwise quiet here in Kent. I mentioned above that the Duncans are to give a ball this weekend, and I'm very much looking forward to the occasion. It will brighten an otherwise dull existence. March is a very showery month, and cuts into one's outdoor exercise most inconveniently. There is much excitement about this particular ball, as a relative of the Duncans is to join them from Scotland in time to attend. He is a high-ranking nobleman of some sort, a duke, I believe, and is said to be vastly wealthy. Naturally, every girl in town is longing to make a good impression on him. Personally, I can see nothing very extraordinary in the circumstance, as he is said to be rather old and somewhat gruff in his manners. No doubt it comes from living in the wilds of the Scottish Highlands. But I shall save my opinion for after the ball, and will be sure to relate all that I experience to you. Do try to enjoy some of your trip to Paris, for my sake if not for your own. You know Papa is too busy with his scientific experiments to think much about travelling beyond our own set, unless business specifically calls him away. I long for your next letter and expect you to include every detail about the things you see and do whilst in France. I wonder if the fashions there are as splendid as everyone claims. Perhaps I can persuade Papa to let me order a Parisian gown through your capable hands. It is a pity it would have no chance of arriving in time for the Duncan's ball, for I assure you that I will take care to look my best whether or not the Duke is old and gruff, so as to be a credit to our family in the wake of Fanny's folly. But my rose silk is new.